You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever. This is your host, Lou Need, and today I have the privilege of introducing Brianna Rooney onto the show. Brianna is a millionaire recruiter. She is a fierce, passionate entrepreneur who is excited about recruiting and growing your successful business. She owns Techies, a successful recruiting firm which helps business owners make their dreams a reality via better careers, better company, and more money, to name a few. Over the last 9 years, she helped build some of the most successful companies in the world. And believe it or not, before finding her purpose, she studied fashion and design in LA, California. Brianna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I love the intro.
Well, you have done a lot, and I'm excited to have you here to talk about, well, let's talk about business startup. You started up your own business, so we'll cover that for a little bit. We'll talk about the challenges of starting your own business and the challenges of keeping it running. We'll talk about your business passions, and we'll talk about business headhunting for companies and also recruiting and technology.
Sure. Sounds good to me.
All right. So share with us, why did you start Techies after fashion school and design school?
Well, you know, what's funny is, and I think a lot of people have this trouble more so now than I did back then. But I went to school because it was like, okay, well, one, you're supposed to, right? And two, because it was like, well, I did have a passion in fashion and I wanted to open up my own store. And you go through, you know, the school and stuff, and you don't really think ahead. I think that that's the issue, that we're not really set up to think like that. So I was done and I'm like, okay, great. So now I'm going to open my own store. And I go, I need money. what was I thinking? It was so funny because it's, you know, I mean, it's a 2-year school. It's not a 4-year school, but I went the whole 2 years not even thinking about that. So that was kind of a harsh reality. And my stepdad is in sales, and my own dad has his own business as well, but not in sales. And so I was just like talking to them about it, and they're like, well, the fastest way to make money is in sales. So you don't have to wait all those years to climb up a corporate ladder and stuff like that. I go, okay, great. What am I going to sell? So didn't know, started working at the bar, had a really good time, and then realized, okay, if I don't get out of this, I'm going to stay here my whole life because it's too fun. But I still wanted to open my store. So anyways, a good friend of mine who I met at the bar took me out to dinner one time and said, hey, I think you would really be a good recruiter. I go, what the heck is a recruiter? And so she started telling me about it and what I needed to know. And she's like, look, you love being a wing woman. So just do it in your job. Like, that's really essentially what we do. We build relationships and we introduce them to things that they didn't know about. I'm like, okay. And ironically, as I'm at this dinner with a good friend of mine, I get a phone call. I had my resume on Monster, and I get a call that says, hey, have you heard of recruiting before?
Really? It just kept coming at you. The universe just sending it your way.
I know. I'm getting the chills all over again. This was, you know, 12 years ago, but I believe things happen for a reason. I don't believe in coincidences. And so, yeah, I was like, well, obviously this is what I must do. And so I took the interview the next day and just fell into it. I loved what it brought me. And I was there for almost 2 years, but you know, even though I was young and making six figures, I just felt like it wasn't done correctly. Like, there was just so much more to do. And so something happened where I just quit. I quit on a Friday. I was super excited about it because it was really liberating, because it was really shocking to everybody, including my mom, who cried. And my boss, he was like, whoa, where are you going? I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to figure it out. I really like recruiting, so I'll probably just stay in the business. And he goes, oh my God, can I figure something out? I said, absolutely. You know, I like working for you, whatever. And he goes, okay, I'm going to call you Tuesday at noon. And so over the weekend, again, just kind of celebrated. I was at a Laker game with my stepdad, and he goes, so I know you think you're just going to go back to your job, but I was curious, what does your boss do for you that you don't think you can do for yourself? And I just kind of sat there. I'm like, I don't know. Like, maybe probably nothing, essentially, because I was always very like, no, I can do whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. I'll figure it out. And so, I couldn't really think of anything. And he goes, well, you might want to consider doing your own business then. And I'm like, well, that's overwhelming. I kind of laughed that off. And then all of a sudden, Tuesday came and went, and he didn't call me. So Wednesday morning, I opened up Techies.
Really?
And the funny thing is he called me a few hours after I got my LLC on LegalZoom. And he goes, okay, so I figured it out. Come on back. And I'm like, sorry, it's too late.
Wow. Your story is giving me chills.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. It was, it was not well thought out. I didn't have savings. I used a credit card to open up my LLC, my Macy's credit card, mind you. I got really, lucky. I do believe in luck, but you have to find your own luck too. So
you were making your own luck. You up and quit because you didn't like the status quo. You didn't like the way this was being done, and you felt like you can add more value. You can do such a better job that you said, see ya, I'm going to go figure this out. And you didn't even know you were going to start your own business when you up and left.
No, I for sure did not think that.
So what was some of the challenge that you encountered? I know you signed up with your LLC right within like 24 hours, but what were your challenges starting Techies like the way you did?
Yeah, well, luckily for the business I'm in, so recruiting in general is, you can go from zero to hero in 2.5 seconds, where it's like you just need that one deal to get you going when you're on your own, because they're very large because I'm also in engineering. And so the salaries are pretty big because I'm in San Francisco. Well, that's who I recruit for is in the Bay Area. And so the challenges really was just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. And to also learn discipline, I've always had a very good work ethic. That's not been the problem, but I think discipline is something different. So when you start to have success, especially early on, which I was really lucky to have, I made a deal my first month of opening. So like that was enough money to, I know I could survive X amount of, time. And the problem is celebrating, really. And I think that I had a lot of fun, but looking back, I could have really toned things down and grown myself, because I think that when Techies has been growing and has been making more money, because Techies has made more money every year, thankfully, yet I wasn't growing myself. So I think that was the issue. And so now I realized that about 3 years ago. And so now I'm really taking a great deal into, learning myself and not just teaching my employees, but growing too, because they're going to reach a point where it's like, okay, now we're in equal playing fields. And that's not what a CEO is supposed to do. They're supposed to push things to the limit. So then therefore their employees can push things to the limit. So, and they can grow. So that's has been a learning curve.
Self-development is huge, because 80% of it is psychology. And 20% of it is skills.
Absolutely.
Is what Tony Robbins says. Like, you have to grow. And as a leader, as a CEO, that growth mindset is not just crucial for you, but for everyone else you serve. Mm-hmm. And so do you find that after the learning, after the development, and actually putting some disciplines in place, do you find it hard now? How have things changed with since the development?
Well, it's funny. It's still changing. So about 3 years ago, I bought out my business partner. So that's what really set things in motion for me. I felt like I was doing two jobs, and he was just kind of sitting back, and he just had a different mentality. So I finally cut the cord, and I just decided I can't do this anymore. And so then we just kind of got, things back in motion. I cleaned up shop. I kept people that I really thought was you know, was doing a great job and represented techies in the right way. So that in itself probably took like a good year to really, you know, get settled and feel what I was feeling about running this business truly alone, because it's one thing for me to think I was running it alone. It's a different thing to truly run it alone. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. And then these last 2 years, I realized I need infrastructure. Like I need an end game. I need not only myself to have an end game, but I need my employees to have an end game, because I've been really fortunate to have people that have been with me for a very long time. I have someone 8 years, 7 years, 6 years, four years, you know, and then now I have some new people. But, you know, it's like, although we're all young, we still want to have that path and still know like what's next. So that's when I realized, okay, what's next is I need to grow. And I need to have high growth, not just like a little growth like I used to do, but like really start opening offices. And so I knew all the things I was supposed to do, meaning I was still recruiting. Like I was still in the bullpen, still recruiting just as much as everybody else. But yet I was also running the business and trying to mentor. And I was just doing all these things. I have two little kids, you know, all that stuff. And I love recruiting so much that I was trying to walk away from it to run the business, but I was having trouble. I wasn't being able to do it. And I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, actually the same one that got me into recruiting, because now she's higher up in her career as well. Mm-hmm. And she goes, look, when you had your kids, you had to lose weight, right? You what, like 20 pounds, whatever, you know, amount of weight. I'm like, yeah. She goes, and what did you do? I'm like, well, I got a personal trainer. She goes, exactly. But yet you know how to lose weight. You know how to work out, right? I go, yes, but you just needed someone to push you. I was like, ah, she goes, yeah. She goes, yeah, you need an executive coach. And I was so dumbfounded by it. Like, what do you mean I need a coach? Like, I know I've gotten this far, you know, like I'm in my ninth year. What do you mean? And it was like, it just became so clear when she made that metaphor for me, you know, and it just related so nicely. And I'm like, well, you know what? It doesn't hurt. So I started the next day, because I don't wait on anything. Yeah.
You don't. You just move right in. I love that.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's actually something I'm working on, like to actually hold back a little. But yeah.
If you give it time, it lingers. You lose the motivation. You lose the drive. I'm with you on that.
Okay. I think the same thing. But anyways, so yeah, I got a coach and I talked to a few, picked one that I thought this was going to be a good fit. And then decided that Emily, who's now my chief growth officer, she's been with me the longest and really has not only shown the most loyalty, but the most care and has the best work ethic. And so I promoted her and I said, okay, this is what you and I are doing. She's like, what do you mean? I go, you and I are having an executive coach. We're doing this at the same time.
you don't want to do it alone.
Well, yeah, not only do I want to do it alone, but I, you know, it's like, I need someone at the level, at the same level. And I need us to be on the same page always. And, you know, it's like I had to grow her career, but I didn't quite know how.
That is the power of a mastermind. You just form that with the three of you. That's powerful.
Yeah, no, it's been fantastic. I can't even like begin to go on about how beneficial this executive coach has been. And you know, as recruiting, even though, you know, I don't like to say we're salespeople, I like to think we're relationship builders. We are still paid mm-hmm. like salespeople. So in order to get salespeople to wear their company hat is really difficult, because it's an individual hat that each of them holds, right? And so it's like, in order for us to grow, because we do work as a team, but yet we don't get paid as a team. That's the difference. And I don't believe in getting paid as a team. So I just believe in us kind of working together for the greater good and knowing that it all kind of it's going to come full circle. So that's also something I needed help with, too.
It's evident that you love what you do. It's a passion, because when you started out and you had to run the business and not do as much recruiting, it left you very unhappy.
Oh, very unhappy. I sobbed like a baby.
You have a passion for this. Why do you love recruiting so much? What about it that like makes your heart sing?
Oh my God, I'm actually getting chills just thinking about it. So, you know, first I just thought it was the money. Honestly, it was just like, wow, these are really big wins. I can make so much money doing this. I'm, you know, so fast, a blink of an eye, all those things. And then as I dug deep actually with the coach, I realized it's so much more than that. It's so powerful. Meaning, you are giving people an opportunity that one, they didn't know existed, two, didn't even know they wanted. And once you open someone's eyes on such a giant level mm-hmm. on something, like, I mean, think about what's the most personal to you. You know, some people might say family and friends, but a lot of people I think might say their career or perhaps they're equal or one and two, you know, who knows, but it's such a personal thing for them. And you are involved in that portion of their lives that they'll hold on really for the rest of their life, because every different career is a stepping stone to the next one. So that is so powerful and so inspirational to see all of those moving parts and to know that you actually had a big part of it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you found a niche and you are getting better at it every day. It sounds like with you investing in yourself, that is phenomenal. That is great advice to anyone. Like Steve Jobs, I just read a quote from Steve Jobs today. The only way you can do great work is to love what you do. And you depict that 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you know, what's interesting is that I don't expect everyone in here to love recruiting as much as I do. You know, that's not the thing. But I want them to understand what recruiting can bring to their life in general. Not only like through what I just spoke about, but also with the financial freedom that it brings, you know, like for Emily, for example, who's, I just talked about, chief growth officer, recruiting was not her passion. She actually went to school to be a graphic designer. She's very creative, but in recruiting, you have to be very creative because there's a lot of noise. And so you need to stand out in the pack. And so she's the best at it. And then not only does she get her creative outlet through recruiting, but she's been able to make the money to also then have her passion go through. And she had came up with the rosé flotté, where it's been featured in many different articles and in magazines and stuff like that. And she designed it, she made it, and she put it out there. And she wouldn't have, I don't think, done so without this career. So I think there's just so many moving parts that are amazing.
That's fantastic. I hear a lot of core competencies, a lot of skills that you can, hard skills you can have, but I hear a lot of soft skills as well. That just comes into play to be a recruiter. What else is required? If anyone is listening, is thinking about a recruiting or studying organizational psychology and want to go into HR and recruiting, what are some skills that they need to hone in or sharpen?
Yeah. So I just had like a powwow about this because I do get asked that a lot. Like, what do I have to have? Because I'm pretty convinced that anyone can be successful at recruiting, but the real core is work ethic. Although I feel like that for most jobs in order to be successful. But also you need to be organized. Now, here's the thing, like people's idea of organization is totally different. Like I have a ton of post-it notes, but guess what? I know where they all are, you know, where I have other people who are like, you're crazy, like have an Excel spreadsheet. So, you know, there's all different types of organization. But also I think it's about being self-aware, because when you're dealing with people in general, communication is very important. And I think a lot of times people don't realize that in order to have good communication, you have to be self-aware.
Yeah, absolutely. And a high, what do you call it? Emotional intelligence.
Emotional intelligence.
High EQ, because you got to be able to assess not just your emotion, but be aware of other people's emotions and how they are perceived across the table so that you can shift how you interact with them.
Right. Exactly. And actually, I'm having my company start a workshop just next. Oh, my God. This month. It's August. Jeez. This month that is going to be involved 8 different workshops around emotional intelligence.
Wow. That's fantastic. I studied it. I got my PhD in organizational psychology and I was going to do my dissertation on it. And decided to do it on narcissistic leadership instead.
Nice.
I went to the other side of the spectrum on that one. But I love people who are aware of themselves and know how to engage in and interact with people, because we're emotional beings. We need to connect on a different level. And you got to know how to connect with people where they are and where you see them to be going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so crucial. What are some recent changes have you seen in the recruiting world as it related to technology?
Oh my God, so much. Everyone's trying to make our jobs robotic. Like, oh, robots can do your job. Oh, monkeys can do your job. No problem.
Monkeys.
yeah. I'm like, at first I was nervous. This started probably about 3 or 4 years ago, where they tried to like put artificial intelligence and all sorts of tech into recruiting. And I do believe you should have stuff like that. But to say that it's going to replace a human being, recruiters in that portion, you can't do that because, first of all, everyone's different. Everyone has different emotions. And lots of times humans are not rational. And job change isn't rational as well. We can have, like I deal with engineers who are extremely logical. Like that's their job, is to be analytical and logical and all those things. However, they make very emotional decisions, yet they're not capable of those emotions because they're not aware of, they don't normally feel emotions like that. Like very analytical people do not feel emotions like that.
Interesting.
And so that's what we're here for, is to understand and show them that this is also an emotional decision and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And so the recruiting and having AI and algorithm input it into this process, you're saying, is not realistic and it can't, you don't see it long term.
I mean, like I said, it's going to help, but it's not going to replace at all. No way.
Mm. Okay. What advice do you give anyone that is listening on how to start their own business?
This is a good one. First of all, I think a lot of people feel that they need to start their own business. I don't know if it's necessarily a need. I've had a lot of people ask me, how do you start your own recruiting business? Well, first of all, you need to know all the fundamentals. So whatever business you are starting in, know every aspect of it. Yes, there's a lot of things you can just fake or pay people to do, but really, you need to know the core of it from start to finish. So like in recruiting, I have a lot of people who only know how to source, only know how to get candidates. And then I have some people who only know how to handle the client side of it, which is the company. You have to know both. And if you don't, then that's going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. Another biggie, I think, is in order to be an entrepreneur in general, I think you have to not only be fearless, but you have to embrace that fear and realize that it's a learning, that you're learning at every single curve. And that's really important. Also to just, well, like we were going back to, stop thinking, just do it. Stop.
Right, right. And when you say be fearless and embrace fear, I think about the book called Failing Forward, which talks about,
I love it.
Love that book, talks about essentially not to be afraid of it. It's inevitable. It's going to happen, but you need to learn and grow from it. You can't grow without fear. You can't grow without failure. So you let that drive you. Let that be the motivation force that pushes you to learn the fundamentals, do the extra steps to learn what you need to actually start your own business, whatever it may be.
Yes. Love it.
Now, I know you're busy running a $1 million business and you are super energetic. You're super positive. How do you get up, dress up and show up in your life? What is your morning routine?
Two things. Exercise. I go to class at 5:30 in the morning and I love it. And some people are like, I can't get up that early. First of all, yes, you can. and you know, it might just take like a couple weeks, 3 weeks to like really get into the groove, but that starts off my day. And I didn't develop anxiety until I was 6 months pregnant with my first. I had never felt that before, ever. And so not only is exercising, I think, just so important in order to like keep that smile going, but it also keeps you, I think, really grounded and you're not as anxious. And so that's really the key there. And also, I very much believe in a giant smile. I know there's been lots of studies on it, but I mean, I'm smiling at you right now. I just feel like people can feel it, and that regardless of the mood you are in, you just can never shake it. You just can't, because nothing good will come out of a frown ever.
Absolutely. I heard, I was doing network marketing back in 2009, and they said the first thing you do before you pick up a call, you make a phone call, is to smile.
Yes.
They can see it. They can feel it. They can hear it. And you just confirm it. Being in sales, you just confirm it. It's so true, because now I smile. I don't force a smile on. I'm just genuinely so much happier now in life and today that I smile with everyone, to everyone. And you do hear it on the voice, and being behind the mic all the time, listeners can feel it. Hear it.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so.
Yeah, absolutely. So I listened to this podcast that says, when the first thing you do when you wake up, put a smile on.
Absolutely.
Because that the muscles are being trained to smile throughout the day.
Yep.
And I love your exercise routine, because I too am up at 4:30 and working out at 6 a.m. And there is something that recharges you. It actually just not alleviate anxiety, as you mentioned, but depression.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Sour mood and emotional. Just think of anything that you went to bed with and you're waking up, you can like work through by working out, getting it out of your system.
I agree. I have some of my best thoughts working out and I just escape, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. What else do you do?
I also have a couple different mantras that I have in my head that I also say while I'm working out. And, you know, it's something I came up with about like 2 years ago. And I randomly did a marathon without training. And so it's about that time that I came up with it. And it was, you know, no matter what I was doing in life, if it was challenging or upsetting or, you know, whatever, overwhelming, I would just say this mantra and I would just get through it. And I would say it as many times as I needed. So I think that's super important. Also, when you have key moments, you know, something that I've learned that rattle you for whatever reason, you have a mantra and you just go to it.
Yeah, it's fantastic how that works out. It's almost tricking the mind to feel what you wanted to.
Absolutely.
Like you're currently not in that state, but you're confirming, you're affirming that it can feel that mm-hmm. way. And sooner or later, it catches up.
Yeah. For sure.
And then your mood changes, your attitude changes. So yeah, I love mantras. I call them affirmations. I mm-hmm. say them first thing in the morning. I listen to them throughout the day. If the day gets a little hectic and they've truly worked because the subconscious mind is picking up. It's picking up on cues and energies and sound and all that, right? Because we're a body of frequencies. Yeah. And when you have that replaying on repeat and it's good, the good thoughts, then it for sure changes and transforms. Your mindset yeah. and your attitude and the way you appear and show up in life.
Absolutely. Love it.
Brianna, you have shared so much. I thank you so much. I just want to recap for our listeners. Like Brianna started her techies business and she learned to be disciplined, be organized and have great work ethics if you want to start your own business. And she mentioned something so valuable and crucial. It is self-development. She invested in herself. She started learning and growing and reading. And then she took it a step further and got an executive coach to take her business to the next level. It's important that we invest in ourselves so that we can grow, so that our businesses can grow. And Brianna's morning routine is no different than the entrepreneurs that we've heard along the way in the journey is that exercise. Get up and move. Move the body to just get rid of any negative charge, anything that you've been sitting on. It helps with depression and all that. And I love the smile, the giant smile. You're the first that has mentioned it. The giant smile is key. And I too have it in affirmations over and over again. You will hear it. Affirmations are crucial to the transforming the subconscious mind. Brianna, how can we connect with you?
Yeah, there's a few ways. Always on LinkedIn. So it's Brianna Rooney, Brianna Rooney. Also, you can go on Techies, TechEES.com. And also that's something we built about 2 years ago is the millionairerecruiter.com. And that's a 6-week bootcamp course to either get people started in their recruiting journey or to current recruiters to take them to the next level.
Fantastic. Brianna, I thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Have a great day.
All right. You too. Bye.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.